Ladies and gentlemen, in my new role as the Chairman of the Executive Board at PRO Group AG, I am honored to welcome you to our Q4 performance presentation. Our business model has again proven to be highly successful in the last year. Despite the uncertainty we saw in the market due to still the corona pandemic, the rising conflict in Ukraine, and the related energy crisis, we have managed to achieve a new record result we are happy to present today. Now I would like to hand over to Dr. Metz, who will take you through the details.
Thank you. Good afternoon also, ladies and gentlemen, from my side. My name is Volker Metz, and I'm CFO of PRO Group. I would also like to welcome you to our conference call on the fourth quarter results. Yesterday we published a Q4 interim report, but please bear in mind that the results of the report are still unaudited, especially last year with our SAP conversion during the year. The preparation of the audit and annual financial statements were significantly more time-consuming. That's also the reason why we are a little bit later than usual with the publication of the Q4 data. Until the audit is finalized, there might be some changes in the financials, and the final data will be reported in our annual report at the end of April. The presentation begins with the highlights of the fourth quarter of 2022 and an overview of the market development. The second part will cover the financial performance. The third part includes the summary and outlook on PRO Group's operations. On page five, you can see the highlights of the fourth quarter and the full year 2022. The weaker order intake of the second and third quarter continued in the fourth quarter. The typical seasonal recovery in sales volumes in the fourth quarter was weaker than in previous years. Unlike in previous years, we were not able to fully utilize the production capacities of our board plant. The combination of lower order intakes in the current year quarter and a strong prior year led to a reduction of our corrugated board sales volume of 4.7% in 2022. As a result of lower sales volumes in our board business and the weaker market environment, sales volumes in our containerboard business also declined slightly by 1.2%. Due to the weaker market environment and lower energy and recovered paper costs, sales prices for corrugated board and containerboard came under pressure in the fourth quarter. Despite this price reversal, average prices were still higher than in the fourth quarter of 2021. As a result of the higher average sales prices more than compensated for the before-mentioned volume developments and lifted sales to 403.7 million euro, which is 2.6% above prior year's fourth quarter sales. In the full year 2022, sales grew by approximately 30% to 1.76 billion. On the right-hand side, you can see the long-run sales development. Over the five-year period, we achieved a significant double-digit average sales growth of 16% per year. Last year's sales record of more than 1.3 billion was exceeded very clearly. Regarding EBITDA, we achieved another excellent result in the fourth quarter of 2022. EBITDA increased by 10.6% compared to the fourth quarter of 2021. Compared to the third quarter of 2022, EBITDA grew by 40%. In the full year, we had a record-breaking financial performance with an EBITDA of 412 million euro. The EBITDA margin in the fourth quarter was 25.4% and 23.4% for the full year of 2022. The net financial debt at the end of the fourth quarter of 2022 decreased further to 655 million euro after 78 million euro at the year-end of 2021. As a consequence of the higher last 12 months EBITDA and the lower net debt, the net leverage decreased again to 1.6 after 2.9 at the year-end of 2021. The corrugated board and containerboard markets in the fourth quarter were significantly weaker than in the prior year. The continuing Russian war against Ukraine has a continuing negative effect on the consumer behavior, and the economic outlook is subdued. after the extraordinarily high energy prices in the third quarter, significant decreases in energy prices were recorded in the fourth quarter. Due to this, and influenced by likewise lower raw material costs, prices for corrugated board and container board declined in the fourth quarter. Compared to the third quarter, prices for corrugated board and container board fell by 6% and 5% respectively in the fourth quarter. Recovered paper prices came under massive pressure in the fourth quarter, falling by more than 50%. The price decline was caused by significant production cuts in the paper industry. These were the result of weak demand and extraordinarily high energy and raw material costs in the second and third quarters. On a quarterly basis, the average recovered paper price in the fourth quarter was 52% below the recovered paper price in the third quarter. We continue with the report on ProGroup's financial performance. On page 8, you can see the corrugated board volume development. The sales volume of corrugated board decreased by 7.4% in the fourth quarter compared to the same quarter of the previous year. The main reasons for this development were the weaker market environment and the strong sales volume of the prior year's fourth quarter. The typical volume recovery in the fourth quarter after the seasonally lower demand over summer was much weaker than normal. In the full year 2022, the sales volume declined by 4.7%. In the fourth quarter, our containerboard sales volume decreased by 6.2% to 368,000 tons compared to the fourth quarter of 2021. This development was driven by significantly lower external containerboard sales volume and slightly lower internal containerboard sales volume. The lower internal containerboard sales volume followed the lower sales volume for corrugated board business. The higher share of internal containerboard sales led to an increased integration level of 78% without the swap volume and 87% including the swap volume. These figures are slightly above the levels of the third quarter of 2022. The sales volume in the full year 2022 was 1.2% below 2021. On this page, we present the quarterly sales development. The quarterly sales decreased in the second half of the year. The decline in sales revenue is based on the before mentioned decrease in volume and the lower sales prices in the fourth quarter. Compared to the same quarter of the previous year, sales revenue increased by 2.6% to approximately 404 million euro. This increase results from the higher average price level. In 2022, sales increased by 29.6% to 1.76 billion euro. This represents a new sales record. Page 11 shows the sales bridge from the fourth quarter of 2021 to the fourth quarter of 2022, and the sales bridge from the third quarter of 2022 to the fourth quarter of 2022. The growth rate of 2.6% compared to the fourth quarter of the prior year is the result of 36 million euro lower sales due to the lower corrugated board sales volume and 46 million euro price effects. The volume effect is based on 27,000 tons decrease in corrugated board sales volume and 80,000 tons lower external container board volumes. The price effect is based on approximately 14% higher average sales prices for corrugated board and 8% higher sales prices for container board compared to the fourth quarter of 2021. Compared to the third quarter of 2022, sales decreased by 6.4%. This development is driven by a volume effect of minus 4.4 million euro and a price effect of minus 23.8 million euro. The volume effect includes the corrugated board sales volume increase of 5,000 tons and a decrease of the external container board sales volume by 12,000 tons. The price effect is the result of approximately 6% lower average corrugated board prices and 5% lower average container board prices. On the next page, you can see the quarterly EBITDA and EBITDA margin development. In the fourth quarter of 2022, we achieved an EBITDA of 102.6 million euro after 73.2 million euro EBITDA in the third quarter of 2022. This is another strong result given the challenging environment. Compared to the fourth quarter of 2021, EBITDA increased by 10.6%. The fourth quarter result was impacted by declining sales volume and lower turnover levels. On the other hand, lower recovered paper prices and declining energy costs had a positive effect. As in previous years, positive energy-related items were recognized in our P&L in the fourth quarter. EBITDA increased by impressive 50.8% in the full year 2022. A new EBITDA record of 412 million euro was set. The EBITDA margin improved significantly to 25.4% in the fourth quarter from 17% in the third quarter. In the full year 2022, the EBITDA margin was 23.4%. On page 13, you can see the long-term EBITDA margin development on a quarterly basis. The average EBITDA margin of the past five years was 23.4%. With 25.4%, the margin in the fourth quarter was well above the long-term average. Also, we set a new absolute EBITDA record by a wide margin in the full year 2022. The EBITDA margin in this year was only at the long-term average. The reason for this were significantly higher price levels, which had a dampening effect on the EBITDA margin. On the next page, you can see the cash flow development. The free cash flow increased by 3.9 million euro from the fourth quarter of 2021 to the current year's fourth quarter. Compared to the third quarter, free cash flow declined by 29 million euro, but stayed on a comparably high level. The high free cash flow is the result of another strong operating cash flow and increased cash outflows from investing activities. The high operating cash flow compared to the previous year fourth quarter is driven by the higher EBITDA and positive working capital effects. Cash flows from investing activities were basically related to our growth project, PW 14 and 15. On page 15, you can see the EBITDA to free cash flow waterfall for the full year 2022. We achieved an EBITDA of 412 million euro. Cash flow from changes in current provisions was +17.3 million euro. The trade working capital increased significantly with a negative effect on the cash flow of 46.7 million euro. The cash flow from changes in other assets and liabilities was positive at 3.5 million euro. The cash flow from changes in other assets, we paid 14 million euro income taxes, and CapEx spending amounted to 117 million euro. Other effects were slightly negative, 1.8 million euro. As a result, the free cash flow for the full year 2022 amounted to 200.3 million euro. On page 16, we have the development of the net financial debt and net leverage of Pro Group. In the fourth quarter of 2022, the net leverage decreased again to 1.6. The reason for the drop in net leverage is the strong increase of the last 12 months EBITDA and the lower net financial debt. We are therefore well below the long-term maximum target of 3.0. In addition to the scheduled repayment of existing debt, we purchased own bonds in the open market with a nominal value of 32 million euro in June, July, and October. Please also bear in mind that a drop in net financial debt already includes the dividend payment of 80 million euro in May 2022. The next page gives a deeper view on the financial debt and finance costs. Compared to 31st December 2021, the financial gross debt decreased significantly due to the scheduled repayments of loans outstanding and the purchase of own bonds in the open market. Compared to the year-end 2021, the amount of undrawn committed bank facilities remained unchanged at 50 million euros. 91% of the financial liabilities as at year-end 2022 were denominated in euro and 9% in British pounds. Approximately 88% of the financial debt has fixed interest rates and 12% has variable interest rates. This rate is really favorable in the current interest environment. environment. The average interest rate was 3.0%, the same value as in the previous year. On page 18, you can see the quarterly development of the working capital. As at the end of December 2022, our working capital decreased by 20.2 million euro compared to the end of the third quarter of 2022. The decrease is based on lower inventories of 5.3 million euro and lower trade receivables of 23.5 million euro. Trade payables also decreased by 8.6 million euro. Compared to the year-end 2021, working capital increased significantly by approximately 47 million euro, which is basically related to sales and raw material price increases and the buildup of inventories at the new PM3 as well as lower trade payables. The working capital as a percentage of sales decreased to 15%, which is at the lower end of the range. On page 20, we present now the summary and outlook. The continuing weak market environment will also lead to a slight decline in sales volumes in the first quarter of 2023. However, the decline in volumes will be less than in the second half of 2022. Subdued demand and low operating rates in the industry continue to create price pressure. Therefore, we expect noticeable price declines for containerboard and corrugated board in the first quarter. The prices for our main raw material, recovered papers, will essentially move sideways. Energy market prices in the first quarter so far are significantly below last year's levels. Since we started the year with comparably low budget, low hedge levels, we can benefit from the cheaper spot prices. However, the very favorable hedges of the previous year end expired on 31st December 2022, so that a moderate increase in average energy costs is to be expected overall. The falling sales prices will lead to falling results and EBITDA margins due to the rather stable to slightly rising cost situation in the first quarter. The growth project PW14 started commercial production at the beginning of 2023. The plant is now in the ramp-up phase. Some remaining work in the high bay warehouse will be executed in the first half of the year. On the first picture, you can see the Strykov site with PW7 in the front and PW14 in the middle. The smaller building on the left side of the picture is the production hall of our packaging park partner. We also made progress with the next corrugated board project, PW15. We continue with the construction of the Heibel warehouse and the production hall. Due to bad weather and some supply issues, we are slightly behind our original time schedule. On the second picture, you can see the progress on the site. We also made progress with our project to build another sheet feeder plant in Italy. Construction is scheduled to start in the second quarter of 2023. We are now at the end of our presentation, and if you have any questions in the performance presentation, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If for any reason you would like to remove this question, please press star followed by two. Again, to ask a question, please press star followed by one. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please remember to pick up your handset before asking your question. Our first question today comes from the line of Tom Elliott from Royal London. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah, thank you. So first question, just two clarifications. So just on EBITDA impacts from the lower recovered paper prices, I don't know if you can quantify what the EBITDA impact was from the decline in the quarter. And then secondly, you mentioned energy-related refunds. Again, if you could quantify what the impact of that was.
The energy-related items in the fourth quarter had an impact of 16 to 17 million euro. They are related to grid fee refunds and also supportive payments for high CO2 costs. And the impact from the lower recovered paper price, I mean, prices dropped from more than 200 euro per ton in the middle of the year to around 100 euro or slightly below that by the year end. We approximately use 1.1 to 1.2 tons of recovered paper per ton of containerboard production. So if you take approximately 370 to 400,000 tons per quarter in production of containerboard multiplied by this 1.1, we are close to 400 to 440 tons of recovered paper. And so if you multiply this 400,000 tons with a decrease of say 100 euro per ton, it has a massive impact on the cost structure. We are talking about more than 40 million euro. On the other side, sales prices also declined following the lower raw material costs.
Thank you very much for that. And then my second question was on incremental energy costs across 2022. I don't know if you can quantify for the whole of 2022 and perhaps 4Q as well, what your incremental energy costs were year over year. And then, you know, your hedging profile for 2023, is there any update to that? Have you applied any new hedges as the prices have come down lately?
What do you mean with this with the energy cost question? Do you compare this?
I guess what was your yes, exactly. So how much higher were your energy costs in 2022 versus 2021?
One moment, please. It was 80% higher 2022 compared to 2021. So an increase of almost 80%. Roughly.
Okay, and your energy
million euro is 95 million euro in this area.
Right. Thank you very much. And just on the your hedges for next year, what does your profile look like?
We started with comparably low hedge levels in 2023, especially on the electricity side. The hedging level was below 10%. In fact, it was only 7% for electricity and 35% for gas. In the course of the first quarter so far, we increased the hedge levels to now above more than 55% in for gas and approximately 12% for electricity. And therefore, we are not hedged too much. In the current environment, we see a positive signal that we can benefit from the lower spot prices and also the lower the hedges we closed in the course of the first quarter were significantly below the average future price we have seen last year for the delivery year 2023.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question today comes from the line of Patrick Kersing from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking the questions. One clarification to start with. You gave the energy refund impact of 16 million. Is that a one-off event that happened in 22, or is that a usual adjustment at the end of the year? And if that is the case, what was the comparable number for 21?
It's a normal, the regular refund. So if we achieve certain preconditions, we get a lower grid fee. So this is paid every year as long as we achieve the required preconditions, which we regularly do. And the other thing is that the compensation for the CO2 has been also paid the last year, especially in the fourth quarter. So this is typical. It was higher than prior year because the CO2 prices increased a lot over the last couple of years, and therefore the amount for the CO2 compensation increased from, I think it was around 8 million in 2021 to around 12 million or so for 2022. And these are the figures for the relevant, for the respective prior year. So we get in 2022 the refund for 2021, and we got in 2021 the refund for 2020.
Okay, no, that's helpful. Thank you. Then a couple of guidance questions. Can you remind me what your outlook is for CapEx, or your expectation for CapEx 23 and also working capital with the lower prices? Do you expect that to unwind a bit from what you used last year?
Yeah, the CapEx budget for this year will be higher than the prior, the 2022 CapEx. We will probably see CapEx figures of more than 200 million, close to 250 million euro, if everything goes along our time schedule. On the other side, it's still difficult to get everything in time, so there might be delays more from supply side issues. So in this case, it would be slightly lower than more towards the 200 million, but it will be higher than what we have seen in 2022. And regarding the
So just to stay on the CapEx for a second before getting to working capital, does that include already any planned CapEx on the second power plant that you're looking at, or is it purely the PW15 and 16?
This already includes also a significant amount for the power plant, because we are now starting with the construction of the power plant, and therefore it's ramping up, and also the payments increasing in the course of 2023. And besides that, it's PW15 and 16.
Perfect. Thank you.
And regarding working capital, yes, with the declining prices, we will also see reductions in working capital. On the other side, the year-end amount of working capital is typically comparably low if you compare it with the intra-year working capital levels, because we stop selling corrugated or sending corrugated board to our customers just before Christmas. So approximately 10 days of the old year, we have no deliveries on the corrugated board side and limited deliveries on the container board side. On the other side, customers are still paying, so accounts receivables are declining towards the year end, and this is increasing in the first 4 to 6 weeks on a higher level. Yeah, the opposite effect comes from lower price level. So if you compare year-end 2022 with year-end 2023, you'll probably see a declining working capital amount if you compare with intra-year levels, especially at the beginning. It's probably more flat development, and then depending on the further price development.
No, understood. Thank you. That is helpful. And maybe one final, if I may, before going back into queue, just looking at the outlook, obviously you talked about lower EBITDA margins into Q1 on kind of lower sales and prices coming off, offset by some cost improvements. Do you think the EBITDA margins are still going to be somewhere within the long-term average, or is it comparable more to your Q3? And then within full year, I think the release set, you expect a normalization of profit. So what level do you see as a normal, if you...
I think in 2023, it's the average we have in the past 5 years was 23.4. So we will clearly stay below that level, and for the first quarter, we will not drop to what we have seen in the third quarter. So it was only 17% in the third quarter, but the year 2023 is still quite uncertain, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have a margin below 20%, but I don't see that it comes to 17% in the first quarter. It's not dramatic like this, but on the other side, it's much more difficult to gain volumes, and prices are declining in the first month. Therefore, we want to be cautious with these forecasts.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question today comes from the line of Lauren Vergenau from CreditSight. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the solid results. As you are changing your hedging arrangement for 2023, is there any changing to expect on the structure of your contract with customers? And could you remind me what's the typical structure of contracts you have with your customers? Thanks.
With the customers, we typically have spot business. We have our business is based on long-term relationships, but the customers normally order their demand on a daily basis. We have some framework agreements with our packaging partners, but this is more to agree how the price will be built and how we work together. If they don't have orders, they can't order them by us. So typically the order pattern is that they order what they need, and this is on a daily basis. On the other side, corrugated board is needed every day. It's not a product that you can store for many months because it has high volume and comparably low value. Therefore, it's a typical product which is needed every day, is produced every day to packaging, and the packaging is used also every day. So even if we don't have long-term contracts, we can rely on that majority of the orders are repeated regularly. And if this is not the case, this is the task of our sales force to ask the customers what is going on, why are you not ordering this type of product? And then he is very close with our customers to whether this is a price issue or that maybe the customer needs a different product or if there's any problem with our service. So this is our business works. It's not that we have very long-term contracts. It's based on a short notice system, but this works quite well.
Understood. And is there any possibility of applying any surcharges if, I don't know, if we have another, episode of very high volatility in energy prices and inflation?
I mean, at the end of the day, we are working in a commodity business. If prices are increasing, if the market price is increasing due to higher factor costs like energy or also raw material, of course, we will ask for them, and this can be offered at a very short notice because we have no long-term contract which fixed prices. So if there is a need for higher prices to recover the variable costs, this will be passed on to the customer. On the other side, the other way around is also true. If there is a declining factor cost, our customers also learn very quickly and ask for lower prices the other way around. So this is moving in both directions. And additionally, if you have a very strong demand, market demand, it's easier to pass on the prices than in a scenario where you have a weaker demand. But typically you can pass on higher raw material costs to the customers, and last year also higher energy costs because they became so significant in the total cost structure.
Thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. The next question today comes from the line of Cole Hathorn from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Actually, just to follow up on the order volumes that you're getting from your customers, have they given you any color around their end market destocking? I mean, it's a theme in the industry for weakness in the fourth quarter and the first quarter of this year. Just wondering, what are you seeing and what are your views of where we are in kind of the destocking cycle? And then I'll follow up with another question. Thank you.
No, this is really hard to say whether this is already included in the development of the order intake. I mean, we started quite okay with the order intake into the year. Then the February was more difficult, and now there's some pickup in March so far. But whether this already includes the restocking of all or the increasing of the stock levels, this is, we can't say this at this point in time.
And then Pro Group's in a good position being forward integrated with your containerboard capacity into your corrugated sheet plants, but what are you seeing in the wider containerboard market? Because prices have come off in the first quarter. Are we approaching kind of cash cost support levels for the industry? And do you see some of the higher cost competitors out there having to take more commercial downtime and potentially close capacity? And I'm wondering, you know, would that provide you an opportunity? Thank you.
I mean, we are happy that we have a high integration with our own containerboard demand in the group. So this gives stability in more difficult times. What we see currently is that the operating rates in the industry are comparably low, in the low 80s, which is well below the long-term average. Therefore, there are obviously some players in the market who can't produce because they don't have the orders, or they are not commercially able to produce because of the cost structure. And I think that given the current price levels we see now at the end of the first quarter, that the first players in the market are in a situation where they are not covering all variable costs, especially depending on their energy purchases. If they hedged a higher share of their energy demand in the course of 2022, they have probably much higher energy costs compared to players with lower hedge levels at the beginning of the year. And it all depends on at which prices you have purchased the energy and how the contracts are built. Then I'm quite sure that the first players are not earning money with the marginal volume they could produce.
Thank you. And then could you just give a little bit of color of what is the energy investments that you're making at your mill sites? Is this you're effectively getting the heat as the byproduct from an energy from waste facility? I'd just like a little bit more color on those investments to kind of lower your energy costs. Thank you.
I mean, we have this, our one refuse-derived fuel power plant at the PM2 site in Eisenhüttenstadt, and we are building currently a similar power plant at the PM3 site. This will take two more years to finalize the project, or 2.5 years. And the idea is a full circular economy idea, because we use the production waste of our paper production and utilized the steam from burning this waste for the production process of the paper making, and as a byproduct achieve 50% of the required electricity. So this is how we try to close the cycle and move to a fully circular economy business model. And this gives also a big advantage in a scenario like last year with extremely high gas prices, and gave also high competitive advantage. So this is our concept for the containerboard mills, especially for the PM2 and 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please do press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. There are no additional questions waiting at this time, so I'd like to pass the conference back over to Dr. Metz for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much that you joined our Q4 conference call on Friday afternoon. I think in a week was very, very high uncertainty and many things that you took the time to join our conference call. I'm looking forward to hear you next time when we publish the Q1 results at the end of May. And until then, take care and stay safe, and hope to hear you soon. Thank you and bye-bye.